unto righteousness. And with a mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so we pray that if there's someone here with us this morning that doesn't know Jesus, today will be the day. And even if someone's watching by way of Facebook, I pray if you don't know that Jesus is your Savior, today will be the day as well. And so we praise the Lord this morning. I want to welcome everyone to Calvary Baptist Church and say it's good to see you this Sunday morning and the Lord's Day. I first want to say that we had a wonderful movie night last night, drive-in, camp out in the parking lot, movie night. And not overnight, but we had a good number in attendance, actually. I didn't get a final count, but we were somewhere around 30 people. And we spaced out. We weren't spaced out, but we spaced out. we spaced out when we came home and called it a night. But let me keep things on the right path here. But we showed Overcomer. It's been out for a while, but it is the latest Kendrick Brothers Christian film, and just about being an overcomer in Jesus. And if you're here this morning, I know I've already spoken just a second ago about salvation, but maybe you're already saved. Jesus, you know, is your Savior, and maybe you're defeated this morning. I want to tell you that you can do all things through Christ. You're more than a conqueror through Him that loved you. We have the power, we have resurrection power to walk in God's ways, to fulfill His purpose for our life. And I believe that Christians ought to be the most joyful people and happy people that there is on planet Earth. We're all going through a pandemic time together, as we've been echoing since March, really. But this morning, truly, the peace of God isn't dependent upon circumstances. The peace of God can invade your heart and mind if you only let Him and let it. And it can totally, totally give you what you need during this crazy time in which we're living in. Today's a wonderful Sunday, and it's an exciting Sunday. Brother Snyder Turner, which is, of course, he's no stranger around here. Pastor Emeritus, Brother Snyder is with us. He'll be preaching in just a moment. And Jessica King, at the conclusion of the service, she will be getting baptized. And Brother Snyder will be doing both. And so we've asked him to preach this morning because just looking forward to hearing from him. And not many Sundays I get to sit and listen. And so it's a double blessing, I believe. I do want to mention a couple things before we pray. Last night, my wife Christy, her grandfather, went home to be with the Lord. And we just requested prayer last night at our movie night. And within hours of the movie actually starting, he went home to be with the Lord. He was saved. The part of the blessing in all of this during this time in our family is that Christy and I both led him to the Lord in his living room. I guess he was around 75 when we led him to the Lord, and then he got baptized. And we know he's forever healed, forever changed this morning. And but do pray for her family as we get ready to go through the funeral process. Also this morning, let's remember Brother Jim Daly. He's having some continued situations with his breathing. Spoke with Jim Jr. yesterday, and they're concerned. And so let's please lift up Brother Jim. There was a specific unspoken that was called in, and let's remember this unspoken request. Let's remember little Bentley. This is Joanne Rich's grandson. He's been having some rough times. Little boy. Let's pray for him during his times of difficulty. That's Bentley, Joanne Rich's grandson. Jeff Hodges actually had a kidney biopsy on the right, and it came back negative. So praise the Lord. I checked with Brother Jeff before sharing this, but now he's getting ready to have his left kidney checked out. And so let's pray for Brother Jeff during this time that it is also a negative report. And that's about it for now, but we're here. Let's worship and allow the Lord to minister to us this morning. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you for, number one, for who you are. Lord, you're the unchanging God, the God who has unconditional love. And so, Lord, we are just a thankful people this morning for the kind of God you are, but we're thankful this morning for what you do. Lord, we know that you are constantly working all things together for good. Although all things may not be good, we do have an assurance. We know that you're up to something. And so we're thankful for that this morning. Lord, this morning we pray for Brother Snyder as he comes around. Lord, what a exciting time this morning is. Allow him, Lord, to minister to our hearts that we may be better Christians as a result. And if there's someone here that doesn't know you, let today be the day of salvation for them. We thank you for Jessica King and all the wonderful stories we've heard about her upbringing and the relationship here at Calvary. I pray that you'll be honored and glorified through her baptism. We love you this morning. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Stand, church, would you stand with me? Could we sing a chorus or two of There's Something About That Name? The precious name of Jesus. Everyone stand, everyone sing with us. Worship him this morning. He is truly worthy to be praised. Amen. Seated. We are very thankful to have Brother Snyder with us this morning. And there was a request made the last time he was here. We wouldn't able to get to it that day. But I just really feel like the Lord would have us to do it this morning. And you pray for him. I know we miss him here. We miss him singing. And we don't want to press on him too much this morning. But would you pray for him this morning as he sings The Anchor Holds?
through the long dark night, out on the open sea, by faith alone, sight unknown, and yet his eyes were watching me, and the anchor holds.
Amen.
Though the ship is battered, the anchor holds. Though the sails are torn, I have fallen on my knees as I face the raging sea, but the anchor holds in spite of the storm. I've had visions and I've had dreams. I've even held them in my hand, but I never knew those dreams could slip right through like they were only grains of sand. But the anchor holds, though the ship is battered, the anchor holds, though the sails are torn. I have fallen on my knees as I face the raging sea, but the anchor holds in spite of the storm. Now I have been young and I'm older now. Oh, there has been beauty these eyes have seen. I fought the storms of my life. And that's where God proved his love for me. Cause the anchor, though the ship is battered, the anchor holds. Though the sails are torn, I have fallen, down on my knees as I face the raging sea, but the anchor holds in spite of the storm. Come on. I have fallen. in spite of the storm.
Amen. As the choir comes down this morning, the ladies are going to come around and sing a song that they did a few weeks ago, and I'm very thankful for it this morning. I know it's going to be a blessing to you. Pray for them as they come and sing this morning.
In this life, you might get discouraged. You wonder if you're all alone. You're just barely hanging on. Just stop and remember all the things He's done for you. Just look up to Jesus, and He will pull you through. So I will lift my praise to the one who goes before me. Lift my praise to the one who sets me free. If I'm on the mountain high or in the valley low, I will lift my praise for the world to know. I will lift my praise for the world to know, to know.
You said you never leave us or forsake us, and it's true. You're my today and my tomorrow. I'm not living without you. So I'll give you every breath. Lord, use me as you will. You made a way when there was no way. I can help but worship you. So I will
lift my praise to the one who goes before me. Lift my praise to the one who sets me free. If I'm on the mountain high or in the valley low, I will lift my praise for the world to know. I will lift my praise for the world to know. To know.
Surrounded by your love, Lord, you're my healer through the pain.
You're my savior, you're my anchor, you're my refuge through the storm. I can't help but speak your name, Lord. We're gonna praise forevermore. So I will lift my praise to the one who goes before me. Lift my praise to the one who sets me free. If I'm on the mountain high or in the valley low, I will lift my praise to the one who goes before me. Lift my praise to the one who sets me free. If I'm on the mountain high or in the valley low, I will lift my praise for the world to know. I will lift my praise for the
say amen. Amen. Well, the heartbeat of ministry, in my opinion, is reaching out to others to help them through their times of trial. And so we will lift our praise to the Lord Jesus, who's worthy to be praised at all times. Amen. All right, Brother Snyder, you come along and give us what's on your heart. Let's give Brother Snyder Turner, Reverend Snyder Turner, a round of applause this morning as he comes.
Justin, thank you for letting me be here today, and especially for the special consideration that you have shown to Jessica and to me to let her be baptized, and I appreciate her following through with that. She'd been baptized earlier but had since been saved and chose to do it in the biblical order, and I appreciate that, and the pastor was kind enough to let us come and to do that again. That's what that is a mic. Nice. Okay. Works better, doesn't it? All right. But I do thank you, and I appreciate it. It's good to see you here in the house of the Lord today. Turn with me, if you would, please, over to the book of Judges. Marcia has asked me to apologize and to tell you that she's not here because of me. And David, I didn't know how it'd be my fault, but it turned out to be. But anyway, as you know, she did have a procedure on her lungs about a month ago, maybe. And then she's going for a follow-up visit. I think it's this week or soon coming. I'm really on top of what's going on with her medically. But they did not want her around folks too closely. She goes some, but not much. And she's getting pretty good about actually wearing her mask. And we do the safe distancing at home, so I'm hoping before long she'll let me back in the house. But she did want me to say to you that she's sorry for not being here, and I miss her being with me. But thank you for your kindnesses to us, the cards and the prayers and the letters and things like that. The remembering of my birthday, thank you, those of you that did that. I asked my mother if she felt old. I can't think of a reason in the world for you to say that I mentioned this. But I asked her one day, I said, do you feel old now that you're 92? Does that make you feel old? She said, really, it doesn't. She said, what makes me feel old is having a son that's 73. So, that makes a lot of sense to me. That makes a lot of sense to me. In Judges chapter 14, when you get there, say, got it. All right. Now, you know the story. They learned this in primary, junior classes, in Sunday school, and that is the story of Samson. There is something in here that has really spoken to me more lately, and I appreciate it. I didn't have a place that an opportunity to share this anywhere. And then Brother Justin said, well, why don't you just go ahead and preach? And so I took that as being, you following the Lord, Justin. I'm glad you did that as a pastor. No, yeah, you too. But I am very grateful. I didn't, and I was waiting. I said, Lord, you'll open the door when the time is right. And he was kind enough to call. And I can't think of anyone I'd rather share this with than my home church and those that I have known for literally 40 years or more, probably now, 40 years that I have been able to be with you here. And I'm grateful for that privilege. You know the story about Samson, and you know what happened, but I want to jump into one thing, and without doing any harm or violating the truth and intent of the scriptures, I want to reach in and I want to just kind of pull and extract one little phrase in there and see if I can, the Lord will let me sort of amplify that just a little bit in some other ways, but I think it won't be a disservice. But I want to look at chapter 14. Let me read a few verses to you and with you in chapter 14, verse number 1. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and he told his father and his mother, And he said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her for me. Like that. Get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, now get this self-gratification idea. And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleases me well. No matter what he said before, don't be intermarrying. But here's the interesting thing, and I find this very interesting. The next verse says, but his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Then went Samson down, and his father and his mother to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath. Sometimes God works in ways that we just do not understand and we do not see. To me, just to me, Alan, if the Lord wanted something done to the Philistines, he could have just done it. But he chose to take this path because I think there are some lessons in here. And he said, and behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand. But he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And he went down and he talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after a time, he returned to take her, and he turned aside. Listen, on his way back to get this woman, he turns aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees. And look at this is the phrase, and honey in the carcass. There was honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands, and he went on eating, and came to his father and his mother, and he gave them, and they did eat. But he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. I want to talk with you for a minute. Now, and the reason that this is so compelling to me, I don't know if it is to you or not, but it speaks specifically to me, and that is, I've talked with a lot of people. This morning, I thought, in fact, I called David and told him to tell the pastor that I thought I was going to be very close to the time getting here, if not late, because a dear friend, Spencer's best friend's daughter, was killed last night down at Tifton at ABAC College. And so I was texting back and forth with Lynn and talking to him and told him whatever we can do to help. Through all of this, and you try to make sense of it, of things that happen, and the truth is, there is no sense to be made of this stuff. And you will drive yourself nuts trying to understand things that probably we will never know until we get to heaven. And I submit to you that when we get to heaven, the vast majority of the stuff that is overwhelming to us now won't be worth talking about over there. Is this my preacher?
Yes, sir.
Because I'm. Oh, and the glass. So I can just drink to my heart's content. Fine. Forgive me. I hate to do that with the children. The young folks are here because it's like, why does he get to do it and I don't? I did that one night in a revival. I'll share this with you maybe. And I said, oh, I can just preach till the water is gone. And the next night I came in, and there was a communion cup full of water. Right? There was a communion cup full of water sitting on the pulpit. And I'm like, yeah, I got it. I got it. But things come. Things come into our lives. Look at 2020. By most standards, this year... Larry, this thing has just been wasted. It's just a crazy, crazy world and a crazy time. And no matter what your political bent is, it's still a crazy time politically. But I want to tell you something. Our help's not going to come out of Washington, no matter who's in the Oval Office. What's going to change this country? Now, we have better chances with some than we do others, but it's not going to come from Washington. No Congress is going to pass a law. No Supreme Court justice is going to do for the church what the church should be doing in obedience to God. It won't do it. And so we see these things come into our lives, and we live our lives just wringing our hands, anxious over this and anxious over that, and we're troubled about this and we're troubled about that. And 90% of those things are legitimate issues that do affect our lives. But think of all the worrying that we have done, and tell me how much change you've brought about to any one item that you've worried about. What one thing has gotten better because you've agonized and worried and lived fearfully? My granddaughter got her driver's license. I'm talking about, she's still nine. Anyway, she got her license and decided the first place that she wanted to go was to come see her grandmother, which didn't hurt my feelings at all. I said, "You have a grandfather here." But when she would drive and Marcia would take her places and Brent and Dana would let her drive, everything was fine. But now she's driving by herself. And so I said, "Do you want me to ride home with you?" She said, "No, I got that." Because things that you think you can control are continually slipping out of your grip. Continually slipping out of our grip. There's nothing that we can do about it. And we're constantly agonizing. And I want to show you, I want to talk to you for just a minute, talk to you about a couple of things, just reference a couple of three things here if I can. That there are times struggles are going to come, many of them in some cases. But if we are wise enough to look, you may be able to find some honey in the carcass. Now, what is interesting is that he didn't have any idea when he fought this thing. It's just a battle that he had. Here comes this lion, and he took care of it, and he went on about his business, and he came back later, and the Bible says there was a swarm of bees. I heard one guy one time talk about it, and his title of his message was, "What's All the Buzz?" Which I thought was pretty clever. Yeah. But he said there's a swarm of bees in this carcass, and it had honey. I'm telling you, if you're wise, and if we're spiritually mature enough, and you're willing to look deeply enough, you can find some honey in the carcasses of the things that you thought were completely out of your grasp. It is available. It's not easy, but it's available. But it takes us doing it. See, now, here's the interesting thing. In number 6, it says in here that he is a Nazarite. In Numbers chapter 6, it tells what it's a violation of the Nazarite vow to touch a dead thing. And he took this vow. Now, only thing he was told not to do was cut his hair. But he took that vow, and that's a part of it. And so he violated that which he was supposed to be committed to. But I want to take that just a moment. I don't want to be too hard on him about that. And I just want to talk for a minute about this idea that the very thing that sought to devour him, what does the Bible say in 1 Peter chapter 5 about Satan? He said, "You be aware, you wake up, you pay attention, because your adversary, the devil, is doing what? He's roaming about, walking about, seeking how he can benefit your life." What's he trying to do? You remember when the Lord, when Satan came in Job, and Satan actually came into the presence there, and the Lord asked him, "Where you been?" Remember what he said? "He's roaming to and fro. Just roaming around." You know, Peter will tell you about it later. You know, but I mean, that's what he was doing. Just walking around, looking. And I wonder when the enemy comes to us, and he has a desire to try to do something that will impact our walk with God, how difficult is it for him to trip us up? How difficult is it? What kind of resistance are we able to put up? Not just necessarily in the flesh, although there's a portion of that, but rather that we will obey God, walking close to God, so that when these things come, the enemy is constantly trying to squeeze between you and God to build any distance between you and Him, me and Him, that he can do. He's constantly trying. He lives to do that. He's not going to get you to go out and do some immoral, amoral thing in this county. He's not going to get you to go out, more than likely, and get you to do some crazy, insane thing. He is perfectly content to just get you believing that God is holding out on you and that he's trying to work his way in just a little bit between you and God, and that is plenty, and we're willing to accommodate that because we haven't walked away, we haven't abandoned the faith, and so we are perfectly content to ease our guilt, ease our conviction by saying, I hadn't gone that far away, actually, if you look. And the enemy is constantly trying to work things in. And we make it so easy for him. The very thing that sought to devour him becomes the source of a lesson that we're talking about thousands of years later. So there's the lesson that we give him. Now look, let me show you this very quickly. The trouble that he faced, same kind we face. Number one, it was unsought. Listen, this guy was looking for love. He wasn't looking for a line. He wasn't looking for anything like that. He's going down and he said, I saw a woman and she pleases me. And I want you to go arrange that. That was the custom. You go arrange that. And you take her and you let her be my wife. It was unsought. We find ourselves facing these things. Anybody in January? In January, is there anybody in here that anticipated what would happen to the church fellowship, church meeting, church worship by the time we got into April and May? Anybody think we would be doing that? I didn't. I certainly didn't. And the way that we find ourselves confronting these struggles and these issues, and the way we will deal with them, is not by excusing, not by complaining, not by blaming, but by saying, Lord, if you can use me in this situation, I want to make sure there's nothing between me and you that would hinder the working of the Holy Spirit in my life. As you go through here three or four times in this book, in this passage on Samson, it says, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the Spirit came on him, and the Spirit led him, and he was constantly being led by the Holy Spirit. But look, it was unsought. He wasn't looking for this. It was unexpected. Listen, he was planning on a wedding, not a war. He wasn't looking for that. These things that hurt us so deeply are the things that come when we're not expecting them. And we think everything is fine, and here he is just walking down, going to get him a new wife. He saw one that pleased him. He must have been excited about that. He was on the way to talk to her and tell him all the good things were going to come for her her marrying him. And he's going down the road, just minding his own business, and then, boom, there is a lion. How many times have you been going on about your business? All of a sudden, out of nowhere, you get a phone call. Talked to a friend Friday, and he told me, he said, you know, I don't know anyone that has been taken by COVID. He said, I don't really know anybody that's had it. I said, I know a lot. I know a lot. I'm close to a lot. And it's touched our family, my uncle, my cousin, his wife, my other cousin, his sister, her husband, their daughter, all had it. My uncle passed away. He died with COPD, but he did have COVID. Yeah, I know a little bit about it. The gentleman next door to me, the guy right across the street from me, he died from it. Brother Ceylon knows it very well. He knows it very well. and there's people that are faithful. Nobody was looking for this. And so it is unexpected. And because of that, we find it like here, we're unprepared. Did you notice up there that it said he had nothing in his hand? He wasn't anticipating any struggles. He wasn't anticipating any problem. Now, you're a man like Samson, you probably don't have to carry a lot of weapons on you, but it doesn't say he had anything. And I don't know that he had taken out a lion before. Maybe he had. But the bottom line is this. He was unprepared. We find ourselves, when these things hit, we don't know what to do. Go to the grocery store, and aisles were empty from all the paper products, tissues and towels and paper plates, bread, all that stuff. And we live with this sense of forlorn, that we're anxious about what's going to happen and that we may not have this and we may not have this and we don't want to get into these problems. See, the struggle is this. It's unprepared and, of course, it's unwanted. Nobody wants to get into that sort of stuff. But here's where we are. When a storm hits us, we trust God beautifully if it doesn't last too long or touch us too deeply. Because when it goes on too long, our patience wears thin. When it touches us too deeply, our faith becomes shaken. Now that's where... See, it's not the initial time to me. This is just my opinion. You got it? Just my opinion. It's not the strength of our faith when we get hit. It's the strength of our faith when it looks like we have nothing else to hold on to. See, because when we start out by saying, well, I'm praying. I got all my friends together and we're all praying and I put it on Facebook and I got 19 thumbs up about praying. I thought that's cool. I got 19 thumbs praying for me. And all those things that come our way, nothing wrong with that. I'm sure it's fine. I'm sure it's fine. But let me tell you, you're going to face those challenges. We're going to face those storms. And they're going to last a while. And they're going to touch us more deeply than we anticipated. Would you agree we've been into that a little bit here in our country? We've been touched a little longer than we anticipated. I thought when we did this, a couple of weeks at the house, hanging around, man, not shaving, man. Get on the phone and, Brian, are you and the team down there working really hard? Because I'm up here praying so hard for y'all. You know, they're down there. God bless their heart. They're down there. They're doing school for everybody that lives in West Cobb. It seems like all the kids they're doing the classes for, but I thought just week 10 days we'll be good to go. They'll figure this thing out. I didn't expect to get a phone call about my neighbor that week. Unwarned. But look, very quickly, the triumph that he has. It was through the Spirit. It was not his flesh. The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Now in the Old Testament, the Spirit would come on people and remove himself. He'd come on them for a specific purpose. It says, and the Holy Spirit came on him mightily. And he destroyed these Philistines. And he destroyed this, that. And they tore the walls down. And took the jawbone of an ass. And he won this battle. So all of these things where the Spirit comes on. See, the Holy Spirit would come on them. But now the Holy Spirit lives in us. He came on them for a certain purpose. He lives in us for a constant companionship to guide us and to lead us and to help us. Let me give you this phrase right here. Look at verse 14 real quick. Let me just run through this and I'm done. And he gives these people, when he comes into town, the Philistines come in and they have decided that they're going to give him some trouble. So he gives them a riddle. I probably need to let you hear it. Verse 12 Samson said unto them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you. If you can certainly declare it me within the 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 changes of garments. Going to be a pretty good prize. But if you cannot declare it me, then shall you give me 30 sheets and 30 changes of garments. And they said unto him, put forth our riddle that we may hear it. And he said unto them, here's the phrase, out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. And they could not in 3 days expound the riddle. They go to his wife, and they said, listen, we want you to cooperate. Talk to Samson. See if you can figure out the answer to this riddle. Oh, and by the way, if you don't, we're going to burn you. We're going to kill you. We're going to kill your dad. We're going to kill your house. Burn your house and kill everybody you care about. A little motivation. So she asked, and he says, if I don't tell it to my mom and my dad, why would I tell it to you? And so she kept on. If you want to read the story, it's really interesting how she just kept on, and she kept wearing him out, and she told him, and stayed after him. And the Bible says, and she lay sore upon him. That meant she wore him out. And finally he told. And then they came back, and they answered the riddle, and they said that it is honey in the lion. But let me give you this. Oh, here's what I want you to think about. Out of the eater comes forth meat. Listen, let me give you these. Number one, sometimes you can find some honey in the carcass when unexpected problems appear in your life. You start looking. Samson would not have known the satisfaction of the honey if he had not had to fight the lion to get it. Number two, when you are rejected by people who should love you, Joseph would never have made it to the palace and its position to help people had he not known the sense of desertion he experienced in the pit. Now, I don't have time to develop any of these. I'm assuming you know these stories. But because he was deserted, the honey that came out of that was the preservation of the nation of Israel. And God used that. When society turns against you, when the three Hebrew children, they said, all you have to do is just bow. Stop this being such a radical Christian and just bow down. It is no big deal. I'm under pressure from the cabinet. I need you to bow down, and then you do what you want to do. And they said, King, I don't think we're going to do that. We're not careful to answer you in this matter. In other words, we've already decided, before you brought it up, we have already decided that we're not going to bow. They would have never enjoyed the special warmth of the Lord's presence had they not known the fire in the fiery furnace. That's how you come to know these things. See, everybody says, I want to be used of God. And then when God begins the refining process on us so that he can use us, we push back and we back up and we excuse and we walk away. We say, look, what else you got? I want everything. And listen, I've only said this in my 24 years with you about 5 million times. The primary prayer that most of us pray boils down to this. God, please make my life easier. Do you agree with me? Would you be honest and say that's generally what we pray? Please make my life easier. And that's a good prayer. Now listen, I'm not standing up here declaring that I'm different than anybody else. That's what I say. Lord, I'm okay with you making my life better. I'm okay with it. When society turns against you. But you can also, if you look, and you'll look closely enough, you can find honey in the carcass when taking a stand is costly to you. You remember when Esther had to take a stand for the children of Israel, for the Jews? She would have never known what it is to be positioned to make such an appeal to the king had she not had to suffer the fear and the plot of Haman. So God has a way of working these things out. Don't listen. Never, ever, ever, never, ever, no, never, when? Never form an opinion on the first thing that comes your way. Never. form an unchangeable opinion about what happens. How many times have you been wrong about the first impression of a person? How many times have you hired an employee, or an employee has been hired with you, and you think, oh, these are precious folks, and then you share stuff with them? Now remember, hear me. If they're talking to you, they are talking about you. Get your head around that. If they're telling you stuff about somebody else, they're going to tell other people about you. I'm just telling you, you can believe me or you can reject it. Let me tell you, friend, my data is in the clouds, but my head's not. I just want you to understand it. And the bottom line is that when things come your way, take a minute. Stop. What does it say in Psalm 46:10? If it's not there, it'd be a good place for it. What does it say? Be still. And catch you a quick nap. Because, is that what he said? Be still and know that he's God. Take a minute. So if we take a minute, doesn't that kind of remove some of the impulsiveness of our life? Wouldn't that take care of some of this stuff that you always, it's easy to do. When taking a stand is caused, look, when physical problems come your way, stop a minute. Paul would never have known, may never have known the sufficiency of God's grace had he not had the thorns in the flesh that he prayed three times for. He wouldn't have known that. Now, here's the question. Would you be willing to go through those things, to learn those lessons, to find that honey? Well, I mean, the first prayer is, you got any other way we can do this thing? And I'm not saying sign up for trouble. I'm not saying, God, please give me some problems. Let me see if there's any honey. I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is that there's honey in the carcass of all of the things that we thought was going to take us down. You look at the church. We didn't just shut it up, walk away and close it, and be done with it, even though some would probably be okay with that, certainly in our society. But what happened? We figured out, churches figured out, pastors figured out another way to minister to people. And that's what we do. That's what we have to do. And then lastly, but let me tell you this. When death invades your home, you remember when Jay Iris went before the Lord? He said, my daughter's sick. Can you come? He went to the right person. He said the right thing. Can you come? I need you. And the Lord starts on his journey. And then, of course, the woman with the issue of blood jumps in the way. And don't you know that J. Iris is really excited about that woman stopping the Lord when he's on the way to his house for his daughter. And while he's standing there waiting, and he sees the woman get her healing, just about that time, one of his servants comes up and says, don't trouble the master any longer. Your daughter is dead. The Lord hears that. This is amazing to me. He didn't comfort him with great words of love and care. You know what he said? He turned to him and he said, don't be afraid. Only believe. Don't be afraid that circumstances look like they've gotten worse. I'm still God. Don't be afraid when that which you have gone to the Lord for seems to take a turn for the worse while you're talking to the Lord and you're thinking, oh, we got this thing figured out now. I'm taking him to the house and something else happens and God seems to be interrupted on his journey to your house. Think a minute. Think a minute. Take time to think. He says, listen, and the Lord's saying basically this is turn to paraphrase. Whatever it was that brought you to me initially, hold on to it. Trust it. Is it any more difficult for me to raise her from the dead than it is to cure her fever? We view God in the light of our perceptions of how we can handle the problems that come to us. We see them based upon we can't handle them, so maybe God struggles with that. I was asked once by a precious lady, should we go to God with our small problems? I said, well, what do you think God would consider a big problem? I mean, what would God consider a big problem? I wasn't being flippant. What? You know, I'll tell you, just what would God consider a big problem? Whatever brought you to God originally, lay hold. Don't let changing circumstances change your faith. You got it? This is yes, this is no. And then lastly, you can find a lot of honey in the carcass when you really, really let Christ's love sink into your heart. It says, Christ, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. What was that joy? Well, Jude 1:24 says that he can present us to himself faultlessly with joy. But it was the cross first. It was the cross. And I want to say to you, listen, look for the honey in the carcass. The very thing in each of those instances, and there's probably others you could think of. Think of Gideon. Think of Noah. Think of all of those. Think of those things. And God wants to do something. In Deuteronomy 33, in verse 25, Deuteronomy 33, in verse 25, Moses is talking. He's talking about the blessings to the tribes. And he says, your shoes shall be iron and brass. Fine, never wear out, but here's the deal. And as thy days, so shall thy strength be. He said, your strength will be exactly what you need for that day. As your day is, so shall your strength be. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, we go, woohoo, that's great. What's the next phrase? What's the ending phrase? According to the power that's in us, according to the power that worketh in us. It was the power of God, but it was the hands of Samson. The power of God came on Samson, but it was Samson who fought that battle. When those things come that are hurtful, and how long will we be doing this? I have no earthly idea. I am a bit bored with this COVID stuff, just to be real candid with you. I'm very bored with it. But I'm also very concerned. I'm very concerned. In Psalm 37, it says this, I've been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Father, we love you. We thank you for your presence and your power. I pray that your Holy Spirit will fill this place. Help us today, Lord, to be sensitive to your leadership in our lives and control over our lives. And maybe there's someone here that we have allowed all the things that are coming at us from so many different directions and places. And perhaps we have had difficulty seeing good in anything. And we don't care to hear people say that all things work together for good, because we're having trouble seeing that. But our inability to grasp it, our ability to apply it, doesn't lessen the truth of it. And I thank you for that. And some of it won't ever be known until we get in your presence. But I pray, help us. While your heads are bowed and nobody's looking, and I won't take but just a moment, let me ask you, is there anyone here